Welcome to another episode of Your Life Beyond You podcast. I'm your host, Terrence Campbell, and today is a sermon edition of the podcast. It's a message that I preached in a town called Possum Trot, Texas, a place where God is doing some amazing things. In this particular message, I talk about how many times we can miss what God is doing in the supernatural because we're so focused and overwhelmed by what we see in the natural. Let's take a listen to today's message titled, More Than Meets the Eye.
I won't be before you long, and in honor of God's word, if you wouldn't mind standing with your Bibles or with your devices this morning as we read just a couple of verses this morning. Praise God. I'm going to try to preach this and get up out your way this morning so we can get something to eat, because I don't know about you, but I'm hungry. Thank you, Lord. I didn't heard about what's going on out here in these backwoods. I want to eat. Amen. But thank you, Lord. Praise God. If you could turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6, a very familiar passage of scripture this morning. Praise God. 2 Kings chapter 6. And we're just going to look at a couple of verses. I'm reading from the ESV, starting at verse 15. The scripture says, "When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant says, 'Alas, my master, what shall we do?'" If I can break it down, Lord, have mercy. What are we going to do now? He said, "Do not be afraid." You ought to turn to your neighbor, tell him, "Do not be afraid. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Verse 17 says, "Then Elisha prayed and said, 'Oh Lord, please open his eyes that he may see.' So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." Father, we thank you for your word today. We're so grateful. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Your presence is here. And we thank you, Lord God, for the fullness of joy in this room. And we ask, oh God, that you would minister to every broken areas in our lives. Would you speak and teach to us, Holy Spirit. Strengthen us in those areas where we're weak. Build us up. Increase our faith. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, oh God, our Redeemer. And we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. As you're taking your seats this morning, would you look at your neighbor and tell them, "More than meets the eye." Come on, tell the other neighbor, "More than meets the eye." Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. In October 2017, my wife and I took a trip to Los Angeles, California. We had an amazing time seeing all of the sights and the sounds of this amazing city. We even had the opportunity to go to Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles, and boy, it was delicious. I guess I got food on the brain this morning. We got the chance to see Sunset Boulevard, and the whole time we were busy trying to find celebrities. But one of the best parts of the excursion was that we had the opportunity to tour Warner Brothers Studios. And it was there that we got the chance to visit the sets of where many of our favorite television shows and movies are filmed. I didn't realize it at the time, but That experience will forever shape my experience of watching movies and television shows. Now, while I've always known that these shows were make-believe, my awareness to this reality was heightened because I saw the sets where all of the magic happened. And I discovered that all that stuff was fake. See, it's no secret that we live in a world that is full of fantasy. And it's unfortunate that most of us compare our real lives with the social media highlight reels of others. And we get discouraged because we're not living like them. Our children take refuge in video games that are so realistic that they have lost touch with reality. It's reported that over 70% of men are caught up in the fake world of pornography. And that number is no different in the church. The reality is that we live in a fantasy world. A couple of years ago, they came up with this type of television. They called it reality TV. And it's the furthest thing away from reality you can get. My wife and I started watching this show, Made to Love. Is it Ready to Love? See, I don't know. Ready to Love. Anybody ever watched that? Yeah, uh-huh. And I told her, I said, baby, let me tell you what's happening. This is all fake. It's all about ratings, the drama and all that. Is not even real. Because of our overconsumption of things that aren't real, may I submit to us this morning, family, that these things have made it difficult for us to recognize the real. Yes, sir. It's made it hard for us to see past all of the mirages and see the reality of our situation. According to the Bible, there is more than this. That there's more to life than the things that we can see. See, it is our human condition that causes us to be tempted to allow what we see in the natural override what God has said in His Word. See, the problem with this is that our information is incomplete. If I can share this morning, I believe what the text is going to reveal to us is that we must understand that beyond the natural, there are things happening in the realm of the spirit that we just can't see. And as a consequence, it has caused us to focus on the things that we can see and miss the things that God is trying to reveal. Our text this morning is a beautiful word. And if I can share with you what's the question that's going to be kind of my question I'm going to walk through the whole time. This is the question I have. I'm a questioner. My mom said when I was a kid, I didn't talk. Firstly, I didn't talk until I was about 3-4 years old. She said, I ain't say anything. I just was quiet. She took me to the doctor and said, something wrong with my son. And they said, there's nothing wrong with him. He just don't want to talk. I suspect what I was doing was just watching. I was just looking. I don't know. I'm trying to figure that out. And she said, when you did start talking, son, you know what you started doing? You started asking questions. You started saying, why? Why? And so for me, that's how God ministers to me. I believe that the one who knows everything, when the one who knows everything asks you anything, it's not for his information, but for our instruction. When Jesus asked questions in the Gospels, it wasn't so that he needed to understand. It was because he was teaching. So if I can pose a question this morning, how do we shift our focus from earthly realities to God's eternal perspective? Because, boy, if we could see past what's in front of us, it'll cause us to walk different. So the text, as we get ready to get into this verse, I want to give a little context to the text. The Bible says that the king of Syria made war with Israel.
Come on here.
Now, you already know we about to get into some trouble, because when you fight against God's people, you actually fighting against God.
Yeah.
And that is a losing battle. But the scripture says that the king of Syria made war with Israel. And in his intelligence, in his strategic planning, he was sitting down plotting on the children of Israel. And the scripture says that the king of Syria said, okay, we're going to set up over here and we're going to do this and we're going to do all of that. And the Bible says that his plans were being thwarted because there was a man of God in Israel by the name of Elisha. And what Elisha would do is he would say, hey, king, I guess he called him. Maybe he didn't call him on the phone. I don't think they had phones back then. Maybe he sent a messenger, say, hey, say, king, don't go around there, because the king of Syria waiting on you there. And so the king of Israel was able to avoid all of these schemes. And so finally, the king of Syria had enough. He said, I know what's going on. I know what's happening. I got some spies in the camp. There's some espionage going on around here. I know what y'all are doing. Somebody in this room is a snitch. Somebody in this room is a leak, and I'm going to find out who it is. And the servants quickly said, hey, hold up, king. Before you get too excited, it ain't us. Come on, it ain't us. And what he said was that there's a man by the name of Elisha who can hear the very conversations you having in your bedroom. So he said, the king said, I tell you what, go find out where this man is. And when they found out he was in Dothan, he said, I tell you what you do. Get all the chariots, get all the foot soldiers, get all the horses, and y'all go and surround the city. Apparently, the king of Syria didn't know how this prophetic thing worked. Because while he was plotting, God was already revealing to the prophet what was about to happen. So he didn't understand how this thing worked. Isn't that like the devil, where he's not very smart? Don't know how the things of the Spirit of God work. So here it is. The scripture says that by night, this Syrian army came creeping out. And I want you to know that there are some things that the enemy may be plotting on you by night. But I'm so glad that we serve a God that is not surprised, that while I'm asleep, he's protecting me from danger seen and unseen. We serve a God that while we are asleep, he's awake. And so I don't have to worry, because he's got me covered, my front, back, and side to side. I don't know nothing about that right there. That's an old school song right there. And so here it is. The Spirit reveals to the prophet Elisha, this town is about to be surrounded. And instead of Elisha, Bishop, sitting around worried and, oh, my God, what you going to do? Because of what Elisha can see, it caused him to be able to rest in God.
Yes, sir.
Is there anybody here today that's been up at night just wondering and worried, wondering what you're going to do? Well, I want you to know that while you trying to figure it out, he's already worked it out. And so the scripture says that the town was surrounded. And that morning, after a good night's rest, the prophet's servant woke up and he got him some coffee. Anybody need their coffee before anything can happen? I just got to have my coffee. And he's standing at the door of the camp and he looks and he sees chariots and he's sipping his coffee and said, "Oh my God, look at all of the armies of Syria. We are surrounded." Anybody ever feel surrounded? Anybody ever feel like just trouble on every side? Like, man, I just put 4 new tires on my car and now the check engine light want to come on? And the kids have the nerve to act up? Oh, Lord, have mercy. And I get a call from my supervisor, got to come in, a special meeting. Oh, Lord, what's going on now? But I'm so glad we serve a God that's not surprised by life's challenges. And that even in the midst of being surrounded, God says, "Don't worry, because I'm with you." So this is where our text picks up, family. And so the question that I wanted to ask is, how do we shift? Somebody shout shift. How do we shift our focus from earthly realities to God's eternal perspective? So the scripture says, when the servant of the man of God rose early, verse 15, in the morning, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant says, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" You know, I love being the leader of my house, because when things come up, my wife don't have to worry. All she have to do is just come and say, "What we gonna do?" She ain't got to worry about it, ain't got to fret. "What we gonna do, baby?" And I say, "Don't worry." I put up 3 fingers. I say, "I got this." Then I go and say, "Lord, what we gonna do?" "You got this, Lord." So the first thought that I want to share with you is, first of all, we have to have faith over fear. Notice what the text said in verse 16. He said, "Do not be afraid." You see, fear might be my first response, but it doesn't have to be my final response. Because sometimes what happens is that in life, things come upon us and it surprises us. And as a consequence, our initial response is to be afraid. Yes, sir. But after we've gathered ourselves and after we said, "Okay, God, I know that you got this," we don't have to be afraid. Yes, sir. Now, why did the prophet say, "Don't be afraid"? It's because you cannot walk by faith and by fear at the same time. And the enemy is very crafty to drum up situations that cause us to be fearful. Because fear brings torment. And fear is designed to derail us. You see, fear is an influencer. Have you ever been under the influence of something? Man, not recently, amen, but before Christ. Come on, amen. It's okay to say amen right there, amen. Somebody said, "I can't say that." But have you ever been under the influence? Some of us needed to get a drink so that we could have our inhibitions. Okay, you don't have to say amen. It's okay. It's all right. It's all right. Well, see, what was happening is that you were under the influence of that substance. And when you are under the influence of a substance, it causes you to walk different. It causes you to think different. It causes you to act different. Some of us, when we get that, when we had that substance in us, we became a whole new person. is just like that when it comes to fear. So I cannot operate in faith and fear at the same time. And so the prophet says, do not be afraid. Now I got another question for you. What are three ways that we can strengthen our faith? Well, number one, the Bible says that we can read the word. We can study the word. We can meditate on the word. We can memorize the word of God. The scripture says, so then faith, how does it happen? It comes by hearing and what? Hearing by the word of God. If I'm going to build my faith, I need to read the word. I got to read. I got to study. And I'm not talking about just now I lay me down to sleep, read the scripture real quick, and go back to sleep and get back to my show. I'm talking about let the word of God wash over us. In the midst of adversity and trials and circumstances, it's a good practice to let the word of God just wash over your life. Next thing that we can do to strengthen our faith is we can recall what God has already done. See, if you took some time to just look back and say, God, I thank you for what you've already done. God, I thank you for how the mountains you've already brought me over. I thank you for the trials that you've seen me through. That God, I know that if you were able then, that you're able now. Come on, would you give God praise today for all that he has done in your life? Can you recall those things that he rescued you from? Do you remember the trials that should have took you down? But because of God's gratefulness, graciousness, hallelujah, that will build your faith. Hallelujah. And then the next thing is to rely on his word. Sometimes you just got to trust God for the outcome. I don't know how it's going to happen, God. I don't know who you're going to do it through. But I know, God, if you said it, then God is already done. Hallelujah. So if we're going to be strengthened in our faith, family, we must depend on the word of God. But we walk by faith and not by sight. He said, do not be afraid. See, I find that one of the responsibilities of spiritual leaders is to define reality. It's to help us to get out of getting caught up in what's going on around us and helping us to define reality. I find myself doing this in many respects. One of the ways I've seen this be true is when I've walked with couples who are just now starting the process of dating and now they want to get married. And they want to get married and it's just like, oh, she's so beautiful and like, oh, he's so handsome and all of that. And a lot of times I like to come and say, hey, let me help you. Let me introduce some reality. Right now, you two are tiptoeing through the tulips. But can I tell you, I am not enamored by his smile. It doesn't bother me how beautiful she is. I don't care what kind of car they drive in. What I want to know about their character. Let's wade through all of the stuff and let's get down to the brass tacks and look at the character. This is, can I speak to some single folks in here today for a second? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Can I give you some wisdom? Invite people into your business. I knew that wouldn't get no amens. I know that. But here's the problem. The problem that we have is that we oftentimes are not allowing people to get into our business to see past all of the beautiful stuff. See, if you invite your family members and your friends or somebody here at the church, allow them in, somebody that you trust who's a spiritual person, what's going to happen is they're going to take a look and say, he ain't it. Yeah. Oh, but what about his 401k and he makes a lot of money? I know, baby, but he ain't it. Yeah. See, because they're not impressed by that suit. You were, but they aren't. They don't care how good he smells. They don't care about that fresh haircut. Ooh, look at that hair. Ooh. Not bothered by it. The problem a lot of times comes is when we are just so closed off and we want to do our own thing. We don't want nobody in our business. Can I give you some theology on that? The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says that we ought to pray one for another. The Bible teaches that we ought to not forsaken the assembling of ourselves together, which is in the manner of some, that we might encourage one another. The Bible teaches community. And so what we need is to be in community. Why? Because that helps us to get out of the fantasy. Let's get down to the reality of things. See, the truth of the matter is that I like the way one theologian said it. He says, faith is never the imagining of unreal things. It is the grip of things which cannot be demonstrated to the senses, but which are real. The chariots of horses and fire were actually there. And I love that because it's telling us that even in the midst of all that was going on, there was a reality beyond the reality of what he could see. Yeah. See, God looks at the heart. Yeah. The Bible tells a story of how the prophet went down to Jesse's house to anoint one of his sons king. Y'all remember the story? The scripture says that he was sitting there, and when the first guy walked out, he looked like the man that you want. Yeah, he did. He walked out, the Bible said, Samuel looked and said, oh, that's got to be him. He was tall, dark, and handsome. Strapping, like, boy, that's the one. And the Lord say, see, I'm not like man. See, y'all get caught up in the fantasy. You get caught up in what you can see. And he said, I see past all of that, and I can see the heart. And the Bible says that as those other men that walked past, that God said, he ain't it. He ain't it. That ain't it. And finally, he was perplexed. He said, is this all your sons? Yeah. And he said, well, I do have one, but he don't look like much. Is there anybody here today that have been told all your life you don't look like much? Is there anybody in this church today that have been told, oh, that church down the street, they ain't got nothing going on? But I'm so glad that we serve a God that can see beyond. And he said, oh, well, I have one other boy, but he tends to the sheep. He's young and ruddy and cute, but he out there. We won't sit down until he comes. And the Bible says that when the boy walked through the door, God said, that's him. Can I speak to somebody prophetically today? That you're going to walk through some doors and God is going to say, that's her. You're going to walk through those doors and God's going to say, that's him. That's the one that I have my hand on. And I want you to know today that if God be for you, who can be against you? See, in order for us to shift our focus from earthly realities to God's eternal perspective, we must, number one, have faith over fear. But number two, we have to have eyes to see. And I don't mean eyes like these. I'm talking about, did you know that there's a such thing as spiritual eyes? Did you know? If we are to live a life of faith unto God, we have to go get our eyes checked. Anybody need to go get their eyes checked? I need to go get my eyes checked, right? I'm not talking about these. I'm talking about when the Bible says that we can be blind and can't see afar off. So the scripture says in verse 17, then Elijah prayed. Somebody shout pray. And said, oh, Lord, please open his eyes. And that's our prayer this morning. Lord, please open their eyes. Do you have some loved ones today that you've been praying, Lord, please open their eyes? Because they walking around here stumbling, fumbling, and don't realize that they got these things over their eyes. You mean to tell me that when I was growing up, it was Snoop Dogg. That was my favorite rapper. That was my favorite rapper. Mm-hmm. And boy, Snoop Dogg had this thing. He said, got my mind on my money. Oh, y'all know that too. Okay. How foolish. We gonna spend the life that we have on earth focusing on that little tiny thing. I didn't say we didn't need it. I'm saying Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things will be added. Here we see where the writer is teaching us that we gotta pray that our eyes would be open. Do you know there are some things that right now how you see it is inaccurate? How you view it is not truth. I didn't say that it wasn't there. I say it's not truth. See, reality means what is real. Do you know what you can't see is more real than what you can see? See, the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Hear you in your house bickering and fussing and carrying on and cussing out your spouse. And Satan sitting back like, yep, got him now. You fighting the wrong enemy. You can't see what's really happening. And boy, but this is my prayer this morning. Open our eyes. A couple of years ago, there was this little church in Possum Trot, Texas that God opened their eyes. Well, let's see. God, there is a problem here. And God, we can do something. And these beautiful people made a response. They said, we don't see it, but because you see it, we gonna follow what you see. See, sometimes you don't need to see it. You just need somebody who you trust to see it. Can I minister to our young folks in the room today? See, I didn't have a vision for my life. I met this fine tenderoni in high school named Cindy Clay. Her name was Clay. And boy, that's all I knew was Cindy in the morning, Cindy in the afternoon, and Cindy in the evening. I was a freshman, a senior in high school, and she was a freshman. Lord have mercy. And I ain't have no vision for college. I just know I wanted to be with Cindy. Well, see, in my ignorance, that's all I could see. Lord have mercy. Boy, I'm so thankful that time brings about a change, that God will extend your vision. That you can see past wanting just somebody to be next to you. We so lonely that we gotta have somebody. And God says, lo, I am with you. But because I'm blinded, because of what I can't see that God says, I'm with you. I'm surrounded you with a great cloud of witnesses. You are not alone. Somebody ought to shout that today. I'm not alone. Come on, you ought to come on, shout it again. I'm not alone. Come on. I am not alone. I am not alone. Hallelujah. God, I trust you. If you don't ever send me a mate, God, guess what? I'm going to trust you. Hallelujah. If things never get better, God, I'm going to trust you. Hallelujah. If my bank account never gets full, God, I'm going to trust you. Because, God, your presence is better than anything else. Hallelujah. What do you see? So my mom, she said, baby, I know you can't see, so I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to apply for college for you. I'm going to complete the application for you. Hey, baby, hey, can we talk for a minute? Girl, I want to know your name. That's all it was. I was, ooh, Cindy in the morning. Mama said, that's okay, baby. I see. For you. She applied, and she guess what she did? I don't know if this is on purpose, but she applied to a school all the way in Nashville. Now, you going to have to, you want to talk to her, you're going to have to talk to her from a distance. She sent me off to school. I went out to school. I didn't see it. She saw it for me, but I had enough sense to just follow mama's lead. Is there anybody here right now you just can't see it? That's okay. Because you got some folk in here that can see for you. And all you have to do is just simply follow their lead. I don't agree with that. It doesn't make sense to me. Follow the leader. My God. I'm praying that God, you would open our eyes today. God, open our eyes to see the things that we can't see. Open our eyes today. But what I noticed is that Elisha did not try to convince his servant of what was there. He wanted him to see it for himself. That's a powerful word, because once you see it, you can't unsee it. Maybe I can say it like this. You can't make me doubt him. So I know too much about him. God wants us to learn how to trust him. So that when mama and grandmother are gone, we have a faith that we can stand on that's on our own. We serve a God that wants to know us personally. God doesn't have grandkids. He wants us to come to know him for ourselves. See, we might be troubled on every side, yet not with distress. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are troubled on every side. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. See, because in every situation we win. Come on, you ought to shout, I win. Come on, you ought to shout, I win. I win. Hallelujah. So the question I want to ask is, how do I gain a perspective on a matter? How do I gain God's perspective? See, because what God sees is different from what I see. I like the way it says it in 1 Corinthians 2. It says, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. A lot of times we stop right there. But there's a comma, and it says, but it shall be revealed by his spirit. Yeah. Do you know the Holy Ghost will show you things to come? Do you know the Holy Ghost will teach you how to trust God, how to get God's perspective on the matter? Yes, the Bible says, if you delight yourself in the Lord, what will he do? He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, I know how that might sound. Oh, man, if I delight myself in God, he's going to give me what I want. No, he's going to give you what to desire. And that's revelation. See, in the midst of all that's going on, family, I want to encourage us today that if we could see past our circumstance, it'll give us courage to endure. See, the scripture talks about a man by the name of Stephen. The Bible says that Deacon Stephen preached a powerful sermon. It was his one and only sermon. Well, he preached hard. And at the end of his sermon, he preached so hard that the people were looking at him crazy. Maybe like kind of some of y'all looking at me right now. They were just looking at him, jeering. And then he concluded the message with a hoop like this that sounded something like, you stiff neck, uncircumcised. Thank you. He said, you always crucify the prophets. And it's no different with Jesus. And the Bible says that they begin to gnash their teeth at him, and their faces were so distorted that he was able to see past their faces, because he had his face set towards God. And then he said, look, I can see Jesus. The scripture says, full gaze into heaven, I saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open. Lord, have mercy. Do you know that in the midst of adversity, God can give you perspective to see past what you're going through? Past your adversity, past your circumstance, past what's going on in front of you. So the question that I have as we prepare to wrap up this morning is, how do we shift our focus from earthly realities to God's eternal perspective? Number one, we said have faith over fear. Number two, we said have eyes to see. And finally, number three, have hope beyond this life. Hope beyond this life. See, the prophet was able to show this young servant a world that he didn't even know existed. Though they were surrounded by an enemy, their enemies were surrounded by God. And there's a song that says, it might look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. God will fight our battles. I don't know what you're facing right now, but I want you to know that God is fighting our battles. I don't have to respond. I don't have to retaliate. I don't have to try and make a name for myself. God says, if I be for you, who can be against you? I had a supervisor years ago who just didn't like me. She just did not like me. And I couldn't understand why. And I would pray and say, Lord, what is it that I can do to help this woman see that I mean her no harm? Because you got to understand that sometimes what's going on with people is that they have been so marred by the craziness of this world that they can't see when there is a saint in front of them. They don't know how to receive the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. And so I did my best. I did all that I could to show this woman of God, this woman that God loved her, but she would have no part of it. 3 years in, 3 years, she came to me and she said, Terrence, I'm getting ready to leave this company. She said, but I want you to know something. For the last 3 years, I thought you had an angle. I thought you were up to something. And little did she know, I was up to something. What I was doing is I was working Matthew 5:16 that says, let your light so shine before people that they might see your good works and give glory to God. So yeah, I was up to something. I wanted to be a light in a dark place. And she threw all that she could at me to try to get me off my game. But you know what I was able to do? Is I was able to keep my eye. That said, promotion doesn't come from the east or the west. Promotion comes from God. And so while we're trying to promote ourselves and trying to defend ourselves, I'm here to tell you, keep your eyes on the Lord. And y'all, I want you to know that this woman, she grit her teeth and she said, I don't know how to tell you this, but I'm going to recommend you to take my spot. I don't even know why I'm saying this, but I'm going to recommend you. And what I've discovered is that God says, don't worry about what your enemies are doing. I am your defense. Don't worry about what they're saying. I will provide recompense. See, the scripture encourages us Don't be overtaken by evil, but overcome evil with good. The question was, nothing can change this situation. I love the way First Lady said, love can. See, the Bible says that Jesus, while he was going through, and he was at a place where he knew he was about to leave this earth, and as he labored in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he cried and he prayed and he cried and he prayed, the Bible says that Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Can I tell you what that joy was? That joy was you and I. Jesus was able to see past his adversity. He was able to see past that he was going to give up his life. He was able to see past that he would be separated from the Father, because he didn't want heaven without us. And so Jesus gave up his life to die on an old rugged cross for a broke down, good for nothing sinner. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad that Jesus gave up his life. See, the enemy thought that he had Jesus. The Bible says that if they knew what they were doing, they would have never crucified him. They didn't know that by slaying him, death would be slain. The Bible says that when he died, that he went down and he took authority over death, hell, and the grave. And on 3 days, he rose again with all power in his hands. And he said, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Jesus paid it all. Jesus got up with all power so that we can have the victory, so that we don't have to be a slave to this life, that we can see past our situation, and that we can live life eternal. Come on, would you give God a hand clap of praise this morning? Come on, would you give him glory today? He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised.